Praise God, we are on a little series on what it means to be in Christ, to die in Christ. And I'd like to read several scriptures as a start, as a reminder. So we have just two more messages to conclude this short little series on what it means to reckon ourselves dead in Christ. Because it seems to be an important key in Christian life. And we look first at the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6 verse 11. And I'll read several similar verses that bring forth the same idea, concept or principle. Romans chapter 6 verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So again, the idea of reckoning ourselves dead in Christ. We sang that song, how Christ died for us, and how He became nothing, that we could be everything in Him. But let's also remember that the cross is not just a place that we are safe, but the cross is the place where we die. For to be born again, we must die first. It is either we die unto the Lord, that we can actually live in the Lord, and that is why we need to be born again to see the new life. And before we can be born again, we need to die, and not just die in the natural, which if Christ tarries, then people would die and go to be with Him of our generation. But we need to die within us. So Paul says here that looking at the cross, we reckon ourselves dead unto sin. And in chapter 7, he has those struggles on dying in the Lord. And in the end, he reckons that in verse chapter 7, verse 24, 25, he says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And he says again in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. That is why the flesh had to be reckoned dead constantly. Now here's another place where he brings forth the same concept. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. Galatians 2:20. And it says here, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Past perfect tense. Which means he's reckoning that in Christ he has died. And all the other verses that follow are only possible when the first part comes true, where he reckoned himself dead unto Christ, so that he says, it's no longer I who live, it's no longer Paul who live, but he says, it's Christ who is now living in him, through him. And that's a powerful concept in Christianity. How does Jesus put this concept through? In John chapter 15, John chapter 15, and Jesus tells us here in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Neither can you unless you abide in me. He says here, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, he says, without me, you can do nothing. So let's confess that together in the Lord. Let's all say, Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. He abides in us. We abide in him. And we bear much fruit. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. Now let me bring forth the concept in a different way. We look at reckoning ourselves dead unto Christ. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Jesus says that unless you abide in me and I in you, you can do nothing. And we could rephrase it in a different way for us to understand. Not only can we do nothing, but we need to understand the concept that without God, without Christ, we are nothing. And we can do nothing. We are nothing and we can do nothing without God. The concept of being dead in Christ is that same concept. Now, unless we continually have that concept made alive in our life, we will constantly think that we are something and that we can do lots of things. And the moment that takes place, we lose that relationship with the vine, with Jesus Christ. And the only way for that relationship with Christ to continue is that we constantly realize we are nothing, we have nothing, and we can do nothing. We are nothing, we have nothing, and we can do nothing. Well, let's all go home now, right? Okay, I know. But you say, look, we got so many things around, we are something. Yes, people are something in the Lord, but let's trace this concept that if God didn't give you a brain, if God didn't give you wisdom, if God didn't give you the ability, would the people of the world who think themselves something be anything? No. Because their wisdom is given to them from God. Their abilities come from God. Yes, they take time to develop, but it came from God. So, there's nothing in this life that you have achieved, no matter even if you're 100 years old. If anybody here, 100 years old, thank you. Oh, everybody's still very young. Less than 100, you're young. You can be 100 years old, you could have 5 degrees to your name, you could achieve a million things in life, you could be recognized socially, belong to 10,000 clubs, and be in a high social society, and you could think yourself as something, and as somebody, but in God, you are nothing. Because everything that you have, that you have achieved, if you never were given the opportunity and the ability, the wisdom, the gift, the talent, you could not have it. So you are nothing. What about the concept of you have nothing? Well, we have things, but we need to change that concept. Everything in this life is borrowed. Do you know that the whole planet Earth is on a lease? Leasehold. It's not freehold. God surrendered this world to Adam and told him that he has the authority and dominion over this world. Now, we assume that he gave it to him permanently, but that's an assumption from silence. Say, how do you know that the whole planet is not freehold but leasehold? You remember when Jesus came to town and Jesus was walking around doing what he was doing, ministering, that some of the demons cried out and said, why have you come before the time? Say, what time? They cried out. Some of the demons says, why? You are early. Why you come before the time? You know, even the devil know there is a time when God will take him and lock him up. The devil knows. So every time the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. The devil knows he has a time limit. What was the time limit based on? It is an assumption by scholars that possibly, you know, the earth was given for X amount of time, something 6,000 or so years. The demons knew that there was a time when God was going to bring all things to a conclusion. Because the earth was given to man, and man surrendered the dominion to Satan, and God gave it in a limited time period. So when Jesus came before the time, all the demons were surprised and said, "You're early. Why have you come before the time? What time are they talking about?" The time of the end. When God will have authority to come and interrupt everything and take all the dominion back unto himself and redo everything. So the demons knew it, but what they didn't know was Jesus came early, before the time, to do the special work of grace, to bring forth a new generation of people who will understand how to walk with God, the church, the bride of Christ. That's what he came to bring forth. So the whole earth was surrendered to us on leasehold. It's all borrowed property. Everything that you have, that you own, you cannot take back with God to heaven. There was one little cartoon in the Reader Digest, and there was this man, and he reached the shores of heaven, and there was an angel. Now that is not the actual thing, right? When you go to heaven, you go through the tunnel of light, and that's it, right? But there was a reception in heaven, and so this angel looks at him, and it says, "I have the good news and bad news for you." Imagine the shores of heaven. The good news is that you can get in. The bad news is all your luggage has gone to hell. There's nothing in this life that you can take to heaven. Nothing at all. You could own 20 homes. You could have bank accounts in every top bank, but they are not really yours. They are only yours if you can keep them eternally. Think about that. So if you cannot keep something eternally, they're not really yours. They are yours for a period of time. Anything that is yours for a period of time is not really yours. It's borrowed. Say, who borrowed it to us? God. God. Pardon? Coming soon. Yeah, we're coming to that concept soon. Everything that you have in this life is borrowed. So, here's where I'd like you to have a renewal of mind. Don't think of things as yours. See, as long as you think of things as yours, you haven't reckoned yourself dead. Tell me, can a dead person own property? No. See, we have to have a rethinking in our mind to think the way the Bible principle is. When Jesus walked on the earth, many of us would like to emulate him and says, "Oh, we love to do what Jesus do." If I were to ask you right now, how many of you would like to do what Jesus do? Yay! Right. And just to be sure, can I ask a question? How many of you would like to do what Jesus do? Oh, thank you very much. Now I'm very assured. But before we can do what Jesus do, you have to think the way Jesus think. And you have to feel the way Jesus feel. And you have to be motivated the way Jesus was motivated. Because what we do comes forth from what is inside us. Every action that we perform in this life, whether it's an action or reaction, flows forth from something inside us. the way we think, the way we feel,